Black History Month is not just about things that happened long ago. It's also about events and trends that started in history and continue up to the present day, like the disparities in healthcare between Black Americans and other segments of society. Those lead to things like the uneven distribution of prostate cancer. Black men are more likely to develop prostate cancer and more likely to die from it. Our next guests are very familiar with the numbers and the treatment. Dr. Arnold Bullock is a urologist and a surgeon. Welcome, Dr. Bullock.
Good morning. Thanks for hosting us.
It's good to have you. Dr. Lannis Hall is with us as well, a radiation oncologist. They are both attached at the to the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis and are among the founders of the Prostate Cancer Coalition in St. Louis. Dr. Hall, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. Dr. Bullock, let's start with the numbers. They are somewhat shocking. 1 in 7 Black men will develop prostate cancer.
The numbers are shocking, and that's why it's good to get this information out to your community. Prostate cancer accounts for 1/3 of all newly diagnosed cancers. And contrary to popular myth, it is a potentially deadly cancer. It's the second leading cause of cancer death. And death can be prevented through early screening.
Well, how much more common is the incidence of prostate cancer in Black men versus white men or any other ethnic group?
The incidence rate is 70% higher in African American men compared to white men. It is the highest incidence rate in the world. And we don't understand fully why this incidence rate is so high in African American men. There have been some indirect causal evidence of diet and environmental factors, but that really is not clear.
How much do we think medical attention or a lack of medical attention contributes to this, Dr. Hall?
Well, you know, we do know that insurance and having access to care is huge in this disease, because on the other aspect of this is the survivorship is greater than 99% if caught early. And we are here today to talk about a simple blood test called a PSA, which gives a snapshot of the health of the prostate gland. And it has been dramatically important in reducing the number of men who presented with metastatic, incurable prostate cancer and shifted that disease to a curative stage where we can offer either active surveillance where we watch it carefully, or treatment with radiation or surgery. So trying to move from an incurable to a curative over 99% survivorship is why we are here discussing a simple blood test called a PSA.
Which is a prostate-specific antigen. Let's face it, you know, I'm a guy and I'm getting on in life, so I need to know those things. So, Dr. Hall, what does the test involve?
So it is a simple blood test that can be done at the same time that you have a cholesterol level or a blood glucose level. So when you see your healthcare provider, we advocate that you have a shared decision-making or discuss it with your healthcare provider, because there are some risks and benefits to the test. But the benefits, because it is a snapshot of the health of the prostate gland, we believe outweighs the risk, because it's not making a diagnosis of prostate cancer. It is essentially giving you a snapshot of the health of the prostate gland.
So we are talking to Dr. Lannis Hall and Dr. Arnold Bullock. They are respectively radiation oncologist and urologist and surgeon from St. Louis, half of the founders of the Prostate Cancer Coalition in St. Louis and attached to the Washington University School of Medicine. Dr. Bullock, we talked about the test itself then, but what's the age range? What are some of the circumstances in which somebody should begin to think about getting this test?
So the American Cancer Society's recommendation is that if you're in a high-risk group, that means you're African-American or you have a family member with prostate cancer, then you should engage in a discussion and consider having a PSA beginning at the age of 45. Some advocate for your first screen at the age of 40 and above. If you're not in a high-risk group, then PSA at age 50. But again, this is even though it's more predominant or more prevalent in African Americans, it's also the second leading cause of death in whites. And so it's important for all American men as we approach that 45, 50-year-old age group to consider, if we have to, broaching that subject on your own, you bringing up the topic of prostate cancer screening.
Well, and so what are, you mentioned high-risk groups, and what are some of the high-risk groups?
So it's mostly related to being of African descent or having a family member. The more family members with prostate cancer, the more likely that there's a genetic basis, and the more likely you will get it. And so some people advocate at 40 getting your first PSA. And based on that number, then that initial number says whether or not you're okay then getting your second one at age 45. But this is the thing. Some people think that if you had prostate cancer, you have symptoms of it. And we're advocating screening before you have symptoms. When something is very small, you can't feel it on exam. When something's very small, it's not likely to be causing you symptoms. And that's the whole purpose of preventive health care and screening, to get tested before you even think you could have it.
So by the time symptoms show up, are things getting a bit late for treatment?
Yes, and that's the problem. If you have blood in your urine, or you can't pass your stool, or you have pelvic pain, then the concern is that prostate cancer is not in the gland anymore, but it has spread to adjacent organs and to metastatic sites like the bone. And that's not what we want, because that requires long-term treatment, intensive treatment, and it is typically not curable. So the purpose of having a simple blood test, a PSA, to understand if you need a biopsy or not, allows us to remove what we call change the stage from advanced and metastatic to localized, where survivorship is over 99%. And only 1 out of 5 men, Jeff, are getting a PSA screening at this time routinely. So not enough men are understanding the health of their prostate gland. And we know that the incidence, meaning the development and of metastatic disease, is going up because we are not screening at adequate levels.
So I want to make abundantly clear what we're talking about. This is a blood test, and it comes from your arm, for example.
That's correct. Just a teaspoon.
Uh-huh. All right. So
when you get your cholesterol drawn, mm-hmm. or you go in and get your blood sugar drawn, the healthcare provider just merely makes another check mark on a form.
All right, so here again, this is not involving anything below the waist, and I have to suspect, Dr. Bullock, that is part of the cause for some people who don't get checked. I mean, when they start thinking about prostate cancer, it's like, I don't want to think about stuff down there in my nether regions.
You know, when we say it's a matter of ignorance, we don't mean to talk down about people, but it's just that people don't know. I think if you ask the average man, what does your prostate do for you? They wouldn't know. The prostate produces material that allows the sperm to survive long enough and gives sperm the nutrients it takes to fertilize an egg. Most of your ejaculate, when you climax, that comes from your prostate. It does not come from your testicles. Your testicles only provide your sperm. So at the age at which people get prostate cancer, anything that we do to treat prostate cancer, what is it affecting? It's affecting your ability to father children. Who at age 60, 65 wants to have more children?
Not many, I would think. But, yeah. So all right. So, Dr. Hall, if somebody does show above a certain level on the PSA test, what are then the next steps in assessing what's going on?
And this is important. We've made a lot of progress in how we diagnose prostate cancer. Because let's be clear, the PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. So this is an organ-specific marker. It's not a cancer-specific marker. So an elevated PSA may be due to just having an enlarged prostate gland or inflammation of the prostate gland. So there are other tests that we can do to tease out whether you need to go to that next step of having a biopsy or not. So the PSA is a simple test to give you the snapshot of the health of the prostate gland to know if you need to go a step further or if you should just stop right there and wait another year and be screened. And that's why we are just emphatic about, hey, know your basic health of your prostate gland.
And so what is the basic? I mean, are there things you can do to maintain the health of the prostate gland? I mean, things about diet, exercise, anything else?
Yeah, so again, we don't know. It is important to know that people live a healthy lifestyle and, you know, limit your caloric intake and exercise and stuff, lowers your risk of the most common cause of death, which is cardiovascular disease. So when people take these nutrients that supposedly improve prostate health, what is that actually doing? There's very little data on that. So really, it's a matter of screening, seeing a physician or a nurse practitioner and being evaluated for all of the common medical things that we're most likely to get that can easily be screened for in 2021.
Are there some, I guess the medical term would be comorbidities? I mean, if you're prone to prostate cancer, are there some other health markers that would begin to turn a certain way?
The simplest test is the PSA, but if a person had a high PSA, then we order other additional tests that could help better define your likelihood of having prostate cancer.
All right. So we're again talking to Dr. Arnold Bullock and Dr. Lannis Hall. Dr. Bullock is a urologist and surgeon, teaches at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, as does Dr. Hall, who's a radiation oncologist. When it gets to the point of coming to you, Dr. Hall, for treatment, if it's that far down the road, what determines the course of treatment?
Well, this is when I get into what every man should know. Every man should know their PSA and their Gleason score, that's the aggressiveness of the prostate cancer found on biopsy, and the stage, whether the prostate cancer is confined to the gland or has spread outside to neighboring organs or distantly. So knowing your stage, your grade, and your PSA are the basics, and that then funnels into risk group. And what we're trying to advocate for is that we want to find men in low risk, because in low risk, our guideline-directed care is that we advocate active surveillance, and that is when we don't immediately pursue treatment. We may be able to watch this prostate cancer closely and follow it with MRIs, PSAs, and another biopsy to confirm it hasn't spread. And then you avoid a treatment that you may not need to give because it's clinically insignificant, meaning it may not affect a man's longevity of life at all, but it was found early. On the other hand, prostate cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death. Some men are diagnosed with very aggressive prostate cancer, and they need a guideline-directed comprehensive treatment program. And that is when you should have a multidisciplinary discussion with your surgeon, with a radiation oncologist. It may even include a medical oncologist.
And how often will a case of prostate cancer lead to removal of the prostate? I know this is a concern for a lot of men about, you know, basic functions down there if the prostate is removed.
So people who have more aggressive prostate cancer or more volume of prostate cancer will have a discussion about the various treatment options. And if you're talking about removal of the prostate surgically, then you also are committed as a practitioner to discuss the options for various forms of radiation therapy as curative option for prostate cancer. But keep in mind, there is 1 in 4 men diagnosed with prostate cancer where the cancer is of such little volume and the aggressiveness is such that their best option is probably active surveillance, meaning we just watch it real close. And if it progresses or shows sign that it's increasing, then we treat it. But if it stays stable, it could be watched for years and years.
Right, but the key, again, and we want to keep pounding this home, is to know that there's a possibility of something going on there long before you show any symptoms, so hence the PSA test. Dr. Bullock, you guys are half the founders of the Prostate Cancer Coalition in the St. Louis area. Tell us about its birth and what it was set up to do.
Well, the Prostate Cancer Coalition is to address this very same issue, that there is some misunderstandings about prostate cancer. There's not enough public awareness. And it's an organization, a coalition of other physicians and researchers, prostate cancer survivors, Its goal is to encompass other medical centers outside of, you know, beyond, except with more than just Washington University in St. Louis, and collectively to attend health fairs and churches and men's groups, whatever we can to inform our local community about prostate cancer and what can be done to lower this racial disparity in its outcome.
And also what we advocate is that we educate primary care physicians, because 90% of the PSAs are performed by primary care physicians. And many of them have some confusion about what the PSA is and what other tests are available with regard to determining if you need a biopsy or not, and the treatment options that are available. And the reason that this is important is we talk about African American men having twice the mortality rate of white men, but yet when we do clinical trials or when African American men are in equal access healthcare centers, there's no difference in outcome. Speaking to the importance of quality care and guideline directed care. So we want that message of advocacy and of equitable care to be given out broadly to primary care physicians so that they will do the PSA on their patients.
Well, if you don't have medical insurance, though, and haven't seen a doctor in a while, I mean, I've seen some of the events where they it'll set up in a parking lot and have a bunch of people come out, obviously not during the pandemic, to get their PSA tests. Are those still, well, they're not still happening, but are there plans for those when we get back together?
Absolutely, and we actually have a way for people to go and get a PSA and, by giving free PSA screenings. But you bring up an excellent point. Health insurance is so important because we also see that survivorship is lower in men who don't have health insurance or don't have an easy way to get care. And so advocating for Medicaid expansion and universal health care is also something that we're committed to. Unfortunately, unlike breast cancer, where there are programs to get mammograms and treatment, we don't have that kind of comprehensive program yet for prostate cancer. So that is another thing that the Prostate Cancer Coalition advocates for.
Okay, definitely another place to be looking at things, especially when we're talking about a 70% higher incidence of prostate cancer in black men. Twice the mortality, as we just learned from Dr. Arnold Bullock and Dr. Lannis Hall from the Prostate Cancer Coalition in St. Louis. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.